Let's open our New Testaments. There are three passages I will use to introduce our study tonight. Three passages, one from Colossians 4:14, 2 Timothy 4:11, and Philemon 24. There is in the Bible what might be called the big picture, the greater story. And you can trace that story all the way from Genesis to the end of the New Testament. And that big picture, that greater story is simply this. God made us, and therefore as Creator has authority over us. We have sinned. God sent His Son to die for us, so that through our response of faith to Him, in that obedience, we can be forgiven and live right and go to heaven. That's the good news. That's the gospel. That's the big picture. And you can trace it all through Scripture, every page. Everything else relates to that, supports that big picture, and informs us of the beauty and the urgency of it. Righteousness can be the personal outcome for us. Good relationship with God. Now, inside that big picture, there are a lot of other pictures to help us learn what righteousness is. There are portraits of good people, like the man we're going to focus on tonight. His name is Luke, and you could call him Dr. Luke. Colossians 4:14, Luke, the beloved physician greets you, as does Demas. 2 Timothy 4 in verse 11, Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. And then Philemon, verse 24, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. I'd like to be able to tell you this evening everything you want to know about Dr. Luke. I'd like to tell you about his family background and his upbringing and his education and his choice to become a Christian, and his association with the apostles, and when and how he died, and how he practiced the art of medicine as it was in those days. I'd like to tell you all that. I'd like to have a biography of Luke, and we could open that book, and we could enjoy it and learn from it. But apparently, Luke had no interest in giving us his life's story. Instead, he has a greater interest. He gave us the life story of Jesus Christ while keeping himself in the shadows as much as possible. Now, we can admire that immediately. Before we go any further into our study of what we know about the man, he had no interest in telling us all about himself. Not inclined to write us or to us in detail about his life and his story, because he was a man of the big picture and the greater story, the gospel of Christ. But I can promise that when we take a few minutes to learn what is written about Dr. Luke, lessons of great value come within our reach for good self-evaluation and admiration and motivation for us to do better in serving the Christ Luke served. Now, there are many suggestions about how Luke came into contact with Jesus Christ. It has been suggested, for instance, that Luke may have been one of the two Greeks who desired to see Jesus about the time of the raising of Lazarus. that we have record of in John chapter 12. A prominent New Testament scholar thinks that Luke was the man from Macedonia who met Paul at Troas and helped turn the journey toward Europe. Some say that Luke may have been a professional servant in the household of Theophilus, that Theophilus was a wealthy, highly placed government official, and that he arranged for Luke to be trained as a physician, and that at some point in that process, Luke heard of Christ and became a Christian and then told his master about his heavenly master. And as a result, Theophilus too became a Christian and gave Luke his freedom. And then Luke wrote to him in some detail, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And that work resulted in the books of Luke and Acts. There is some evidence for each of those theories, but that's mostly good drama. In fact, what we know is Luke was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write at length to Theophilus about Christ and the church. That we know for certain. And that we have those documents in the New Testament that compose not only Luke, but the book of Acts. The specifics of Luke living with Theophilus and all of that, we cannot confirm. We enjoy the speculation, perhaps, and we relish to some extent in the drama of those stories. But Dr. Luke doesn't give us all those details. Luke is actually mentioned only three times by name in the entire New Testament. Colossians 4:14, 2 Timothy 4:11, and Philemon 24. We know that Luke was a fellow worker with the Apostle Paul and was with Paul at Rome during Paul's final imprisonment. It has well been said Luke is presented to us in the New Testament, not in great detail, but he's presented to us as the historian, as the helper, and as the hero. And we're going to look at those three dimensions of Luke in our study together tonight. First, let's explore for our learning Luke as the historian. And I'm going to read from Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And you'll get a sense of what this is about when we say Luke the historian. Luke 1, verses 1 through 4. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account to you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. I want us to imagine what it would be like if we didn't have the book of Luke and the book of Acts in the New Testament. Joseph Ernest Renan, the French philosopher and historian, declared that the Gospel of Luke was the most beautiful book in the world. I believe he's correct. But beyond literary beauty, Luke gives us accounts not given in Matthew, Mark, and John. The book of Luke is extremely valuable in understanding the chronology of the life of Christ. The Bible reader and the Bible student would experience a very definite void if we didn't have the book of Luke. When I read and when I teach the book of Luke, it occurs to me how much we can understand about God and how much we can understand about man through the Gospel of Luke. In Jesus' attitude, His life, His teaching, in everything Luke tells us about Jesus responding to people and interacting with people, that's a picture of God that informs our view of who God is. In the response of people to Jesus, whether positive or negative, we are able to see what man is like. How men and women can have good and honest hearts or hearts loaded with sin and corruption and selfishness. And so Luke the historian helps inform our view of God through the life and teaching of Christ, and helps inform our view of man through man's response to Jesus that Luke records. Luke says in his introduction here that he had perfect understanding of all things from the very first. In later translations, there is the word certainty. And that is inclusive of his inspiration by the Holy Spirit to know and write these things with such accuracy. We are able to open the book of Luke today and with assurance have access to this part of the biographical sketch of Jesus Christ. I cannot imagine the New Testament missing the work of Luke. And I feel the same way about the book of Acts. I want you to turn now to Acts chapter 1. And listen to verses 1 to 3 written by the same inspired historian. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when He was taken up, after He had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom He had chosen. He presented Himself alive to them after His suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. It is often said, Luke is not willing to leave Jesus in the tomb because God was not willing to leave Jesus in the tomb. So, in the Gospel of Luke, he tells us about the birth, the life, the teaching, and then the death of Jesus Christ, ending with a resurrection account in Luke 24, but the story is just beginning. Then you open to the book of Acts and the story continues about the apostles and about their work. So Jesus is raised, appears to His men, ascends back into heaven, the gospel is preached, and as people obey the gospel, they become the saved, the church. Christians in various places where they live meet together and work together and help each other and preach the gospel. The Gospel of Luke begins the story. The book of Acts continues the story. We ought to be thankful to God for Luke, the inspired historian. Luke enjoyed great skill as an objective historian. Luke had rich vocabulary, and God used all that for us. Did you know that one lexicon shows no less than 312 words are found in the Gospel of Luke that are not found anywhere else in the New Testament? God is using the rich vocabulary and the objective historical skill of this man to provide history for us about who Jesus was and what He did and what it means to us. Luke tells of 6 miracles of Jesus nobody else mentions. There are 19 parables only found in the Gospel of Luke. If Luke had not written, we would not have known, for instance, about the Good Samaritan, the rich fool, the prodigal son, the rich steward, the rich man and Lazarus, the Pharisee and publican, and the two men who prayed, reported in Luke 18. That would be the Pharisee and the publican. And did you know this? If we didn't have the Gospel of Luke, we wouldn't know about one of the most endearing characters to me in all the New Testament, Zacchaeus. Matthew, Mark, and John do not mention the wee little man. Luke doesn't leave out the little guy. So when we consider the Gospel of Luke and then the book of Acts, I'm recommending we thank God that he used Luke. Now, I do not regard inspiration as robotic. Luke wanted to do this. His heart was in it. He applied skills he had acquired under supervision of the Spirit. He acquired knowledge that he used, careful research, yet all of that under the oversight of God, so that the products, the two volumes that we have, are authentic revelations of truth from God. Luke was a great historian, inspired by God. And we depend upon the literary products that he gave through the Holy Spirit as part of the foundational work of our faith. It is proper to thank God for Luke and Luke's good work. Number two, it will be good for us to consider Dr. Luke as Paul's faithful helper and co-worker. Reading through the book of Acts, we're not going to read all of these now, but reading through the book of Acts, there are passages over and over indicating Luke's presence with the Apostle Paul. In various places, Luke, the author of Acts, includes himself in the narrative, and you observe that when he uses the collective and inclusive pronoun we. For example, in Acts 16, Acts 20, Acts 27, into chapter 28, and other places. Now, I do not believe when we consider Paul and his traveling companions that we should ever think in terms of rank, where Paul would take certain men like Timothy and Luke and purposely treat them as inferior, or put them in the shadow, or make them menial servants. No. I would strongly deny that those dynamics were present in these groups. But there was a certain reality that Paul's work and preaching was out front and public, and that there were some who were willing to work almost behind the scenes and yet very much a part of the work, helping Paul, providing for his needs. It seems from reading Acts, Luke had the necessary humility of heart to take that work behind the scenes. And thus, he doesn't use his name, and he doesn't tell us a lot in terms of, I did this and I did that. He tells us, here's what we did under the oversight of God, preaching Jesus Christ. That's the humility of a genuine helper in the Lord's work. A member of a team, though not the quarterback or the pitcher, the one who is public and out front. A rich relationship of cooperation formed between these men, Paul and these men. And they were supported by men and women who also were in the background, like those in Philippi and other places who provided financial support. They all worked together, all with the necessary humility, and Luke was a part of that team and willing to take that place. That's admirable. Worthy of our imitation. So, we have this great historian, a trained physician who gave us Luke and Acts and was a member of the team spreading the gospel to the lost there with the Apostle Paul. Third, I'm going to call Dr. Luke a hero. When Paul appealed to Caesar, he was confident that as he was a Roman, he would receive a fair trial, even though Nero was the Roman emperor. Nero came to the throne of the empire in 54 AD, and many thought that Rome had finally found a decent emperor. The first 5 years of his reign, Nero was under the close supervision of advisors and tutors, so it went well. So when Paul appealed to Caesar in about 59, it seems like it would all turn out well. Paul was kept under house arrest in Rome for 2 years, and during that time, the Sanhedrin's case against Paul, presumably, was allowed to sort of run out by default or expire. And it's very likely Paul was released at about AD 61. But AD 62 marked a turning point in Nero's administration. In 64, Nero set fire to Rome. And to escape the wrath of the general public, he blamed it on the Christians, and there came what could be called a Holocaust against Christianity. Paul was re-arrested and taken back to Rome. He was now marked and considered the ringleader of this sect, the hated sect. This time his prison situation was maximum security with a guard standing by, and these guards were assistants to the public executioner. Living in mud and filth, maybe some straw on the cold floor for a bed, the Apostle Paul. Some of his colleagues he sent away. Some abandon him. Consider now, it would be a risk to your life to visit this prisoner, to ask to be with him and help him. But I want you to turn now to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 6 in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul said, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Now remember, this is Paul to Timothy. Do your best to come to me soon. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books and above all the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into His heavenly kingdom. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus remained at Corinth, and I left Trophimus, who was ill, at Miletus. Do your best to come before winter. Eubulus sends greetings to you, as do Prudence and Linus and Claudia and all the brothers. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. You heard our doctor in verse 11. Luke alone is with me. Paul is now almost friendless and forsaken and facing death, but he has Luke as his steadfast friend, Dr. Luke, who stuck with Paul through the dungeon. What I'm going to tell you now is from historical sources outside of Scripture. But it may help us form an image of what this might have been like for Paul and for Luke. It certainly is within the realm of possibility. Luke remained, according to sources outside Scripture, remember, Luke remained with the aged apostle until the morning he was led away for execution. He did what he could before his death to relieve his suffering. Heavy chains weighed down the apostle's hands and feet, and sores open and tore deep. And Luke dressed them the best that he could. And in those final hours, Paul was dependent on Luke for food and a little water. And Luke dared the hostility of the guards and the dangers of the marketplace to find food and water for his friend, for his comfort. Someone said one time, Luke with Paul may have been one of the first instances of hospice care. Luke was then with Paul when Paul was led away to execution, according to good historical sources. His head was struck from his body, but we believe his soul soared upwards to the gates of light, and Luke vanishes into oblivion, next to be heard of at the judgment seat of Christ, hearing the Lord's voice, "Well done, Luke," we can imagine into the future. Dr. Luke, the historian, the helper, the hero. He's teaching us yet today. Not only is he teaching us through his historical documents that are inspired in Luke and in Acts. Not only does he teach us who Jesus is and what he did and what he said and what our response ought to be. Not only does he teach us what Christians did together under apostolic authority in the book of Acts and how saints worked together, but through the testimony of his life, Luke helps us understand the value of humble service, coming to the aid of Christians, even if you're putting yourself in harm's way, but doing all of that desiring no name recognition, no publicity agent, no applause. He just wanted to serve God with his ability, with what he had. His mind, his body, his heart. It should do well for me to ask myself, if I had been living when Paul was executed, and if I had been within reach of Paul in Rome, what would I have done and where would I have been? In all of that violence toward Christians, would I have been hiding somewhere? Would I be in something like a witness protection program? Would I be private about my faith to avoid risk? Or would I, like Luke, not only be engaged in the cause of Christ, but doing all within my power and my skill to document the events, to write the history, and to help the apostle in hospice care right before his death? We need to let Luke instruct us, not only with his documents, we need to let him influence us with his example, and we need that to challenge us today. Let's be standing as we sing.